Well, a God morning to you. I want to welcome you back to the God School. We have now for several weeks been pulling out of Scripture and in context of the whole Scripture something very basic to Christianity. Before we get back into the subject, I was watching the news. Now, I don't often make commentary on the activities of the day, and what I'm about to say, I want to lift out as an illustration, not a political statement. I watched this week as Donald Trump withdrew the United States from that document called the Paris Climate Accord. And in my spirit, I rejoiced because it is a document, I believe, and you know, you don't have to agree with me, that was born straight out of hell. This whole climate change, global warming, it denies the existence of God. It denies the Word of God as though we are in control and not God. I'm not putting Donald Trump as some paragon of Christianity, but lifting out as an illustration. Of someone who is shaking up the world order. This is 2017, 500 years ago, Martin Luther, when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg, and the Reformation began. He began to shake up the world order of things. And as he continued to put on display the Word of God as opposed to the teachings and traditions of men, which manifest themselves in that which is called the Holy Roman Catholic Church, things happened. And as he continued, The report came to him saying, Martin, the whole world is against you. I could not help be reminded. Again, I'm not putting it in terms of, you know, Christianity. And I'm not talking politics, but when I saw the reaction to what Donald Trump did, my heart leaped for joy, because at one moment, the whole world rose up against him. Martin Luther's response was, go tell the world I'm against them. I can hardly imagine the strength it took, the strength that was given to Martin Luther to continue to bring forth the Word of God, the Gospel of God, wherein we read that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and in it is revealed a righteousness of God from faith to faith, wherein it was written that the righteous by faith shall live. I thank God for the strength God gave Martin Luther to continue, that we might get the Word of God in our own hands, in our own language, in something that we can understand. I thank God for Donald Trump, who stands in opposition to the way the world is going to go. Martin Luther and all those whom God called in those days, which is referred to as the beginning of the Reformation, it lasted a while. There is a remnant still in the church of the Reformation, of which I think the God School is part of. What Donald Trump is doing is going to last. For a short time, I thank God for its time. I pray and hope you will pray for what I believe to be the Spirit of God upon him. Am I? We're not talking about Christianity here, folks. We're talking about God and his will and his word. And the resistance to the world and to the God of this world, that is the devil, and I pray that God's continued strength be on this leader of the United States, think about it, folks. That pressure that was on Martin Luther because he dared to speak against the world order of his day. Not the same movement. But of a kindred spirit, that's on Donald Trump. We're in. It appears that whenever he speaks, the whole world is against him. Well, like Luther said, tell the world I'm against them. Let our president's spirit continue, that he may continue to speak against the spirit of this world, that is Satan, the God of this world, who has blinded the eyes of the world. Not the man, folks. The message. Not the man, but the message. And I hope those of you in whom God has placed his spirit and given ears to hear might hear with understanding that which I have just held up as an example. Now, to the message. As Paul so eloquently writes in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, wherein he speaks of the resurrection of Christ, which is the foundation of the faith of that which is called Christianity, wherein he says Christ has risen, wherein we have the hope that he who raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to our mortal bodies, and we shall be raised. That's in the future. And no chapter and verse, when he finishes that great exhortation to the saints that they keep their eyes on God and his promises, who did promise to raise us up and change our mortal bodies to immortality, to change this corruptible into incorruption. Paul then speaks of the now, and he says, now concerning the collection. I want to tell you something. It's Monday morning, not Sunday when I usually deliver the message. I woke up yesterday morning and I felt physically as good as I felt in a long time. I had been studying and continued in preparation to deliver the message and couldn't do it. This is how hard this message is. And based on, now I'm teaching to the congregation of the God School. I'm speaking to the congregation of the God School. And your lack of response to these most recent messages has made it harder. Don, there is that which is entering my mind. Get off the subject. They don't want to hear it. Well, I have to answer the question, do I speak to please God or do I speak to please men? Paul says in Galatians, give me a moment because I think it's worthy of quoting. He says in the 10th verse of the first chapter of Galatians, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm going on. There's resistance in out of this flesh, there's resistance out of the world, there's resistance in your lack of response, but I'm going on. I hope my confidence is in God, which has begun a good work in you, that Paul says, and shall make it complete in the day of Jesus Christ in that letter to the Philippians. All of which was prompted by their giving. Giving is intricate to this life that God has put in us, wherein we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Paul says, in the letter of Romans, he says, in the 12th chapter for a little bit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, as I said before. Let's get out of that woo-woo-woo spiritual land, hagios, that is committed, acceptable unto God. The only way we can be acceptable is if we are found in Christ, and Christ is in us when we are acting in faith and we are in him. That's the power of the gospel. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We started out this series, the inward man is renewed day by day, that ye may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That is, God wants people to trust him. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think. Translators add of himself, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether, King James says, prophecy, that is truth-telling, prophesy, tell the truth according to the proportion of faith, of ministry. Let us on ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, there's a note in the margin, says imparteth. It's giveth. It's giving. Let him, added by the translators, I'll read King James and then go back. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. The original, he that giveth with simplicity. There's a note in the margin, liberally. The word in the Greek is hopletos. Now, you know, I've said this before, I'm not trying to make Greek speakers out of any of us. Out of any of you. I'm not a Greek speaker. I thank God for the helps he's provided, which lets me dig in to the words and draw out what I think is even a better understanding than I'm not knocking the King James. I love the King James Bible, but there's more to the word than just translations of men. So, having said that, it says, let him do it with simplicity. That is, give. Hapletos, the Strong's, which is nothing but a support for the King James translation, would give us this definition: simplicity, sincerity, purity, graciousness. Digging into the Greek, it means not folded. It means properly singleness, without folds, like a piece of cloth unfolded, not compounded or over complicated, needlessly complex. Thayer says, used of unworldly simplicity. As we go deeper into other helps, we find the word means the virtue of one who is free from pretense or dissimulation. It's found in Greek writings. Sincerity of mind toward Christ. As opposed to false wisdom in matters pertaining to Christianity, in simplicity, without self-seeking. So many messages in the Christian church today. Sow a seed to this ministry and watch God. The paradox is we give. We don't give to get. We give without self-seeking. We give because we have, by God's gift, come to recognize all that we have comes from God. And that tithe represents, that giving of that tithe represents that recognition. Paul calls giving a gift. He says in the sixth verse of Romans 12, having then gifts, charisma, free gift. You mean giving is a gift? Hey, I'm just presenting the word. If we look over, just across the page into the 11th verse, the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul makes the declaration for the gifts and calling of God, King James says, are without repentance. The word is irrevocable. And he speaks now in this context of giving as a gift of God. Holy smokes. Are you serious, Don? I'm not. These are not my words. These are God's words. And he says of that giving that it is without self-seeking. Paul has given concentration to giving in these 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, giving a response that we look not upon the things that are seen, but upon the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He presents to us evidence of this new creation we are in Christ, and its life in us in the 8th and 9th chapters as to the way we give. He says in the 10th chapter, 3rd verse, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He's talking about world order. And he's been talking about giving for these multitude of verses. And he talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, his gifts. And he puts, I have no doubt, giving as a weapon which is mighty through God, which is not carnal, but spiritual. So many churches have given that name to the table of the Lord, wherein they call it the Eucharist. I presented to you last week, and the evidence is undeniable. Paul calls giving a Eucharist. He will go on late in later chapters to say, in the 12th chapter, 13th verse, for what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? He didn't teach them about giving in the years he was with them. A little bit of pride comes out, fleshly pride. Paul says, not me. But he confesses, forgive me for this wrong. I want to close today as time seems to be drawing closer and closer to God's set time. And pray this message of the manifestation of the Spirit of God dwelling in you is whether, like God, like Jesus, you're a giver. And I do. Thank God for those of you who have heard the message of the gospel from the God school, who have been taught, as Paul says in Galatians 6:6, who have been taught in the word that they communicate. Look, I got to tell you something. I'm not condemning the translators. But man, oh man, do they hopscotch around the subject. The word is koinonia, jointly participate. Give unto him that teacheth in all good things. He says, be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary, that is, lack courage in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Continue on as you started, perhaps with a little more understanding, and as a result of that, more joy. In giving out of that which God has provided to you. And that's the God School for today.